last month under the auspices of under construction, because physically, Open Arms is under construction. God's given us a vision, a purpose, provision to raise up a facility that is going to connect in creative ministry with hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the capital region. And in that, last week, we looked at what needs to change and how we do family. Because what is the message for the family? We looked at God's word for parents, for children, for wives, and for husbands. Last week, we said, God, what's your blueprint for our finances? And in these times, there are struggles. The water's coming in the boat. We feel like we're sinking. Is there an answer? Is there help? God says, from heaven, there is help. In my word, I have principles to live by that will set you free and bring restoration in the finances of your life. Two things I know about every single person in this room when it comes to your finances. And no, it's I don't know how much you make. And no, I don't even know how much you give to God. But what I know is every single one of us lives on a percentage of what we earn. Every single one of us lives on a percentage of what we earn. There are some in this room who live on 90% of what they earn. There are some who live on 100% of what they earn. Every penny that comes in goes out. Some live on 105%, 110%, 115%. And what that means is there's a whole lot less coming in than what you're spending. But there's this thing called credit or debt. Familiar with that? Sometimes we're making the payments, the minimum payments, and we think things are going okay. But we know, I'm drowning. This is crazy. Some of us are at the 125%, 130%, even more. And you're here this morning because you're hiding out from the creditors and the cops. And so, you know, you're safe here for an hour, okay? The second thing I know is that only two of those groups go to sleep at night with peace in their hearts. No matter what's happening economically, no matter what's happening in your finances. You want to know why? Because of the word margin. There's margin in your life. And the margin is there because you trust God. The margin is there because you've looked at His Word and you've established some principles. And so it's not based on what's happening in the world that determines whether or not you have peace in your life. It's totally based on your choice to hear what God has said and to apply that to your life. Those in this room who have the audacity to even live on 80%, you're smiling inside. Because you take the first 10% of what you earn and you give it to God. And you take that second 10% and you put it in a savings account. And so when things happen, there's margin. There's a buffer. Just like in our time, we need margin. We need little buffers. Please don't be like me and set up appointments back to back to back to back and leave no margin. Because stuff happens. Traffic lights. Delays. And you don't make it. And you're stressed and you're anxious, you have no peace. So I'm continuing to learn that. But in speaking to you this morning about this area of finances, can I tell you something? Total peace. And it's not because I'm filthy rich. It's because God has some principles. And our families applied them. So as I'm speaking to you this morning, yes, I'm speaking to you as a preacher. As one of your pastors. I know for some in this morning, that's a scary thing. Oh, so the preacher's going to talk about money. I knew it. Haven't been in church in 2 years. I come and it's all about money. Forgive me. I know, man. Those of you who are part of this family who know me, you're totally okay with this. Because you know what our church is about. You know what I'm about. And you know this isn't about a tugging on the heart, manipulation. This guy's going to look to get someone in and hit the road. You know that. That's not who we are. This church or our family. And others of you who have cynicism and you're struggling, you know what? In some ways it's founded because some preachers have manipulated the truth of finances and so have hurt God's kingdom and God's people. And I know that. But in some ways, as I teach from God's word, I'm going to teach to you as a guy who applied these principles before I came into ministry. Sitting where you were sitting, and God taught me some things, taught my wife some things. He's helping us teach our children some things. We have peace that night. Some of you are in this room, and you know what I'm talking about. You've taken God at His word. Notice the title of the message this morning. Take the test. You're going, John, another test? Last week you gave us 6 tests. We looked at what? Matthew 6, and in those verses we took 6 tests. It was the treasure test, the contentment test, the priority test, and 3 others. I don't even remember what they are. I hate tests. But we took those tests, but today it's only 1 test. And guess what? It's God's test. God says, test me in this thing. What is it about us when it comes to finances and to money that there's an uncomfortableness, there's a thing in the air? It's why can't we go back to when we were children? It's amazing to me as we walk through this in our own family. You see, the things I'm going to talk about this morning, I haven't always lived this way. I was the 110% guy. I made a decent salary, and I wanted even more than I could pay the bills for. I wanted not only, it's a terrible story, I went in, it's a regretful story, to buy a Cougar one day. And I drove out with a Lincoln Mark 7. That was trouble, man. Oh, I thought I felt cool on the road for about 3 or 4 days until the bill, and I said, ooh! And I was tied in for the next 5 years. Totally restricted what God wanted to do in my life. I mean, yeah, it was bad. But I made other regretful stories like that. There was no thrill in my life walking out of that. There was, but then there wasn't. I have some regretful stories. But that's who I was. That's how I lived my life. And I figured I'm mortgaging tomorrow, the future, because I want stuff today. And I want the best and the brightest. So I can't afford it. You know, they tell me I deserve the best today. Here, that credit card, really, they just said, go get it today. Okay. Now, mom and dad didn't live that way. And some of us are living that way. You know, my wife and I, there's times we don't agree on things. And we can have arguments. Want to know something? 17 and a half years, we've never had a fight and argument over money, over finances. Isn't that amazing? Because of these principles I'm going to share with you today. We've never fought and argued over money. Because day one in our marriage, we understood these principles and we applied and we said, God first. And we said, that's right, no matter what. And there's times in our life where we had no jobs, no income, and we went to bed with peace at night. Because God is faithful. I'm going to share this with you, this message this morning. Why? Because God wants us to hear it. It's truth from His word, but because I love you. I want you to experience peace and well-being. I want you to experience joy and confidence that no matter what's happening around you, God is faithful and every need you have will be provided for. Let's take a look at His word. Taking the test, drafting from God's blueprint for my finances. I'm going to read the text, make a few comments, then I'm going to come back, and we're going to deal with those 6 practical means for God's people. So Damien, you can take a rest for a little while, okay? You don't have to hit that button. Notice Malachi, who is he? For our Italian friends, you know him as Malachi, the Italian prophet. But it is Malachi, the Hebrew prophet. As you will look at Malachi, and then you say now, and then we turn into what? The Gospel of Matthew. You know what? For 400 years, God didn't speak through one of His prophets to His people. You want to know why? Because He offered them a test. He said, if you take this test, if you just take it, if you take me up on it, I guarantee you an A+. You know what they said? No. No. And he said, okay. There's consequences to that. But you want to know something? As we see in this first verse, God chose Israel to be his special people. And you know what? He's never changed his heart about that and his mind about that. Notice what he says. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Isn't that amazing? God chose them, a nothing people, nothing mighty and spiritual about them, small, inept, weak, and then he built himself into them, and they became an incredible nation. The only nation that still is alive today in all these years. And you know what God says? I've done that because I made a covenant with you, and I am faithful to my covenant. And you know what? God is not done with Israel. And he still has a plan for Israel. It's amazing. You know, there is a day where those who are going to be speaking the loudest and the widest about Jesus Christ are the Jewish people. The greatest evangelists who are going to be walking the planet are going to be Jewish people. Isn't that amazing? God says, I'm not done. But God says, I've left you go to your hardness, to the blindness, to your callousness. Why? So that the great majority of non-Jews in the world can hear the gospel and be one to Christ. And you might be here today and you're not a Christian. And God says, I want you to know my son, Jesus, and surrender to him. That's what makes you a follower. And you can thank, in part, the Jewish people. Because the word of God, Jesus himself came as a Jew, a little Jewish boy. God says, I'm grafting you in. And he says, I do not change. Do you know he does not change to you? As you read God's word and you look at his promises, he says, I do not change when it comes to you either. Because now if you've trusted in Jesus, you're now my child. As a dad, I try to do the best, but I am pitiful at times. I make promises I don't keep. I'll be home at 6. Then we'll play. 6 comes and goes and I'm not there. It's bad. It's pitiful. I'm wrong. I make it up. I try to. But you know what? God has never failed in one of his promises. He's not pitiful. He says, I do not change despite what you do. Despite what you do. Notice, ever since the time of their forefathers, they turned away. So what does he say? Return to me and I will return to you. You can only return to somebody you already have a relationship with. You understand that? If you're here today and you don't know Christ personally, it's not like you're returning to him. It's like you're coming to him for the first time. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that God's doing something in your heart about that. That you're willing to come to God on his terms. Not through religion, not through good works, not to even giving him money, but simply coming and saying, I need a savior. I'm a mess. I got sin in my heart. I rebelled against God. And I believe Jesus paid a price, so I don't have to pay the price. That I come and I surrender my life. That's coming to him for the first time. And if you're here today, and I believe the great majority of you are already believers, children of God, because I look around and I know some of you and I've heard your story and we were there and witnessed your baptism and your testimony that is real and has been followed through in trust and fruit in your life. In this area, you might be missing it. In this area, you may have disobeyed. In this area, you have never taken the test. You have not trusted God in this area. And so there's a struggle in your life. You're going to bed at night and you're anxious and you're worried because there's no margin. And you know that you know. Maybe you've heard it before. Maybe you've read it before. And you say, one day I'm going to get there. One more raise, one more. And God says, what are you talking about? God says, I'm not talking about that. He's saying, have faith like a child. It's amazing as when I met Danielle and God began to teach me these things from the Word of God, I didn't have the blessing of a teacher teach me these things or a friend open the Bible. I just was reading the Bible and God was just speaking to me. He said, what are you going to do about this? You want to know why he was speaking to me about it? Because materialism had a hold on me. I liked the stuff. I wanted the stuff. It had a hold on me. It owned me. And when I trusted God in the tithe, I let go and it let go. It was powerful. It was wonderful. And when I started talking with her about it, she goes, oh yeah, been there, done that. I've been living this way, practicing this my life for a number of years now. I go, really? Yep. It was taught to me by my mother and father after they came to Christ in their 40s. And God has always taken care of our family. I said, wow. And I began to practice the single man. And since our children were very small, and they began to get gifts from grandma or grandpa, Christmas, birthday, whatever, we bought them a bank. First portion goes to God. Next portion goes to savings. And we said, the next portion, you can spend. And so, since everything was being provided for them, they put more in the bank. But you know what was amazing with my kids? As they began to get a little older and think and reason themselves, every single time they received a gift, now they actually receive an allowance because they do extra chores outside the normal to earn some money. They always want to give more than 10% to God. It's amazing. So here's a dollar. Give God a dime. A dime? That's all? No way. That's all, God? No way. I'm going to give him two. I'm going to give him three. I'm like, hey, kid, don't get a fanatic about this, okay? You know, they want to be generous to God. That is childlike faith. Why? Because there's a trust. Because their needs are being provided for. So what happens? We grow up and we think we're providing for our needs. I'm doing it. This is my job. This is my business. This is my college education. I did this. I did this. And so I'm taking care of self. Let me ask you, if you haven't taken this test, how are you doing? You sleeping peacefully at night? I don't say that to ridicule you or to be mean-spirited to you. I know you're not. I know that you don't have confidence, because if that's the way you operate, then you know that in this world, and especially in these days, there is no peace outside of Christ, outside of who God is and what He says. So I want you to hear, let's get back to childlike faith that says, oh God, you deserve more. You deserve more. And so He says, but you ask, how are we to return? Or He says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Notice what God says. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. What an amazing concept God is saying here. Do you realize God's saying, you're ripping me off. You want to know something? You know who's being ripped off the worst and the most? Yourself. From what? Peace. From confidence. From God's handout. From God's blessing. You know His hands are bigger than yours? They're bigger than your ingenuity, bigger than your boss and your company and the bonus. We're ripping ourselves off, but God says, you're ripping me off. He's saying, it's amazing. See, people's hearts got far from God. And you know where it showed? In their tithes and in their offerings, in bringing gifts to God. And they just stopped. Or you know what? They started bringing the leftovers. Well, let's take care of this. Let's take care of that. You know, we got this and we have that. And then we'll see what's left over. Oh, let's give some to God. God says, then that's showing and revealing your heart and your relationship with me. I'm kind of the leftover. I don't have first place in your life. God knows us. He knows how we're formed, and He knows how we deal with this whole financial thing. And that's why Jesus spoke so much about finances as a barometer of where our walk is with Him. And He says, I want you to be free. I want you to return. Some of us are far from God, and it's not in the financial area. It's in some other area, and you're struggling. You're wondering, how do I get back? How do I get back? God says, in this area, return to me, and I will return to you. He's saying, you're the one who's wiggled your hand out of mine. I want to restore you. And so He says, go ahead. And this is the way you return to me. It's an amazing concept. How do we do that? He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. The word whole means the healthy part, the first part, the main part. He says, bring it to His storehouse. In that day, it was a temple where they went to worship. Today, it's your local church. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. God says, it's mine. It's not yours. You decide what you want to do with the tithe. It's not your tithe. It's my tithe, Leviticus says. The tithe belongs to the Lord. God says, bring it to my storehouse. Why? He says, because there will be food in my house. He's saying, for everything I want to accomplish, everything that's on my heart, and as you and I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He says, everything I want to do, you'll never have to go get a loan. You'll never have to borrow. It's all going to be there because there'll be plenty enough in my storehouse to take care of what I want to take care of. Isn't that amazing? God says, there's a lot I want to accomplish on this earth. And He says, in my storehouse, that's where it ought to go. And everything I want to do, He says, I can do because my children believe me. My children are faithful to me. It's an amazing concept. And you know what's part of that? Not only in the spreading of God's word and the connecting with other people, but even in benevolence. There's times where there's real need for God's people. And you know what God says? That ought to be met not through the government, not through a system, but actually through the church. But you know what? That can't happen when God's people are not trusting Him in this area. There isn't food. There isn't enough to do what God wants to do. God says, that's my plan for my people. But He says, if you turn back from me, then you're not experiencing that. And so we know that. And then what He says, it's amazing. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Isn't that something? Elsewhere in the scripture, you know what God says? Don't test me in this. Don't try me in this. I do that sometimes. Don't test me. This is what the instruction is. Don't try me. Don't test me. But you know what? In this, God says, test me in this. Isn't it amazing? He's saying, try me. And what? And see. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. What an amazing concept. You know what? That's exactly what's happened in so many of your lives, as you've trusted Him. Because what did God do? God gave you a total perspective about everything in this life, everything materialistically. He did that in me. All of a sudden, He gave me a contented heart. The rest of the 90%, I became such a better manager and steward of that 90% because actually, my perspective of finances changed. God, 100% of it is yours. And all of a sudden, every need, beyond the need, but even greater extra blessings, God has taken care of. But He's changed also my heart. The contentment with what we have. We just made choices. Do we not ache at times saying, oh, we'd like this or how about that? But then we say, wait a minute. We have made a choice. Have you made the choice? Because that's what this is all about. God says, $1, one dime. Make the choice. Make the choice. That's what keeps us back. It's not that we don't have enough. God says, I'm not asking for what you don't have. If you make a dollar, God says, one dime. Test me in this. It's not what you don't have. It's what you have. Test me in this. But what about, God says, what about what? What comes first? Me or the what about? Wow. He's saying, I want to reveal and show you, you can trust me. I am God. I died on a cross for you. Do I not love you? Do you not trust me? He goes, I want you to sleep at night. I want you to be free. He says, and I will help you manage the rest. I will open up the floodgate of heaven. And notice what he says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord. He says, you know what? Because what was happening is the fruit was falling from the tree before it was ripened. It was unedible. They couldn't even sell it. Pests were coming and eating. They were planting and there was nothing coming out. Why? They were working hard, but they couldn't make it. Why? They didn't trust God. They didn't believe Him. Because their hearts were hardened. That's what it comes down to. God says, I know it's tough to get that heart back supple. And with me, God says, so here's a practical way. Here's how you can do it. So take out your pens and pencils. Look in your outline. Here's, and if you, and if anything, just hear my heart about this. Because as one of your shepherds, and as we've walked together, and as we shared life together, I know there's struggles in your life. And that grieves me, and that burdens me, and I want you to be free in this area. God wants you to be free. So here are some practical means for you and I in this area. Tithing will do this. And what is a tithe? It comes from the Hebrew word that means 10. It's 10%. It's not 5. It's not 7. It's not 11. You can't give 11% to God and say, I tithe to God. No, you give more than a tithe to God. Okay? It means literally 10. And you can say, well, John, my bump up from where I was before. Man, if you would know, yeah, it's only 4%, but man, it's so far. That's great. But it's not a tithe. That's okay. Call it what you want. Call it, you know, I'm giving God an offering, or I'm giving Him more than I did, but don't call it a tithe. And don't expect God to operate this way, because it's not a tithe. Okay? That's what it literally means. So here's what tithing from God's Word can do and works out in God's people. It turns our hearts back to Him. It turns our hearts back to Him. Where are you struggling? You're saying, I just can't seem to get back. Try in this area. You say, yeah, but my struggle, John, doesn't have to do with money. Try in this area. God says it turns your heart back to me. It doesn't say He turns your wallet back to me. It turns your heart back to me. Do our hearts get distracted? Sure. Do our hearts get away from God? Mine does. And it is an act of worship for me on Saturday nights to write out that check. I get paid every 2 weeks. I write the check out every week. Because I want to be reminded of my dependence on God. My love for God. His faithfulness for me is totally based. It's because of His character. And He doesn't owe me a thing. But He is taking care of us. He is faithful. It's an act of worship. And I rip off my family because I don't gather them around when I do that. I do that myself. But it's a blessing for me personally. And for some of you it is. God says it turns your heart back to me. Secondly, you will invest in things that will last forever. Notice the first part of verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse so that there will be enough. You will invest in things that will last forever. If your church invests in things that last forever. The Word of God says there's two things that will last forever. The Word of God and souls. People and the Word of God. So when you bring your tithe, you're investing in the Word of God and people, if that's what your church is investing in. And I can, and you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm saying, I'm going, wait a minute. But also in our church budget, these pastors, they get paid their salary based on our tithes and offerings. So everything he's saying is so totally self-motivated. You know what? There's some people who might be thinking that, who don't know me and you don't trust me. I get that. Man, I've been sitting where you're sitting and I get that. So here's the deal. Don't tithe to this church. The finance team just said, you said what? You crazy? I'm telling you. Take the test. Find a church that's investing in the Word of God and souls. If you don't believe this church is, this is for you and God, okay? I'm kind of kidding with that, but not, you know. Test God. Try Him in this. Invest. You're investing in eternity. Everything God wants to do through Open Arms Church can be done. Right here. By God's children. Whose hearts have returned to Him. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. Even what we're doing over there. Now I know half of that facility is through borrowed money. And we can bemoan that. But you know what I celebrate and rejoice in? Half of it isn't. That's incredible. Half of that isn't. It's because people have taken the test. And have trusted God and gone beyond the test. Because there's people who tithe and then give extra offerings for that thing to be happening. Who have heard from God and trusted God and followed God. That's amazing. I celebrate that. I'd love for all of us to have that peace at night, to have the blessing of God occur in your life like He promises. So, secondly, you invest in the things that will last forever. Thirdly, you test God's faithfulness towards His promise to you. Folks, God's making the promise. I'm not. And I'll tell you this. I've never met a person in our church, outside of church, that I've ever met who's actually taken God up on this, who's ever regretted it. Do you hear what I just said? Who's ever regretted it. Who said, you know what? God's a lie. You know what's happened with some people? They've treated God like a genie. So even before they took the first step, they said, well, I'm going to do this for 1 month or 3 months, and God, you better be pouring out, you know, that pink Cadillac in my driveway. I mean, they're treating God that way. God says, hey, whoa. It's about a heart thing. But when God owns it all in your heart, and this is your way of saying, God, you own it all, in obedience to Him, God says, I'm going to be faithful to you. And last week, we learned the difference between our needs and our greeds, right? God says, everything you need, you'll have. I'm faithful to you. Okay? So you'll be able to test God's faithfulness towards His promise to you. And notice the next one. You'll enjoy God's blessings with thankfulness and humility. Some of the most precious people I know are filthy rich because God's made them that way. Because they are stewards. And they just give to God. And they do it with a joyful, hilarious heart. And they give Him more than a tithe. And God has given them the ability to make money. And they live pretty well. Their standard of living is good, but you know, want to know something? Their percentage is like 50%. Or 40, or 70, or 80. And they're giving so much more to God. So whatever it is, enjoy the good things that God gives to you without guilt, without looking over your shoulder. I wonder what they think. You don't have to worry about that. If you're honoring God this way, God says, I'm going to bless you. Be thinking of me and my faithfulness and give praise to me when people say, how are you able to do that? God is so good. He is faithful. Now, you don't have to tell Him you tithe. We can just say, God is faithful to His promise. If they ask you, what is that promise? Then teach them. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. His word is my food. When I apply His word to my life, good things happen. God takes care of me. What a wonderful testimony. Enjoy God's blessing with faithfulness and humility. Number five, we see it in verse 11. God says, you have no idea what I'm holding back. There's some here who God says, you should have lost your job, but you don't even know that. But because you're faithful to me in this area, you have your job. Things that you've touched that should have turned to dust, turned to gold. Why? Because you've been faithful. Notice what He says. I'll hold back the devourer. That fruit that should fall because there's no rain, there's no sun, it's going to ripen. Why? God says, I'm going to go against the natural things, and I'm going to do some supernatural stuff. Because I can. I'm God. I'm in charge. Not your company. Not your boss. Not your spouse. Not your kids. Don't listen to them. Even your parents. Unless you're talking about this, kids. And other stuff that God's word says. And can I just share a caveat with you? If you're here today and you're a believer and your spouse is not, do not take these principles and go home and tell your spouse, God, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take the test. Do not do that. This is for God's children. In this context, it was for Israel, God's chosen nation. And I'm speaking to a great majority of believers, of Christians here today. This is for you. If your spouse is not here, God doesn't want their tithe. He doesn't want a cent from them. You know what He wants? He wants their precious life. That life that He created, He gave them birth and life, and they don't know that He's so active and He's so real. And He wants to give them new life, spiritual life through Christ. And there's nothing we can give for that. So don't go home and share with your spouse. If you earn a wage, if you have money coming to you, then you honor God with what you earn. with your resource that God has given to you. He says, I'm doing this for you. You just focus on that. You can share that with your spouse and say, I'm trusting God, but it's not about your spouse who doesn't know Christ. Okay? You'll sleep with confidence that God is working behind the scenes. And number six, finally, this is what God's heart is for you and I. To reflect the goodness of God to other people and the hope that you have found in Christ. Notice what he says in verse 12. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. He says people will look and say, how is it when the rest of us are suffering famine? How is it that you Israelites, how is it that you believers, when everyone else is panicking, that you're at peace and you're okay? Oh yeah, you're tightening the belt. Oh yeah, you're selling up, but you're okay. How can you live with that peace? God, can I share with you about the Lord Jesus, the hope I have in Him, how He is faithful? That's what God, you know what, that's God, what God wanted for Israel. But can I tell you something? They didn't take Him up on it. And the next time God spoke to them, it was through the mouth of John the Baptist, who said, the Savior's coming. Get ready. Repent. Change your heart and change your mind. Now is the time. He's coming. Turn back to God. And so if you're here today and you're a believer and your heart's, and maybe today you're going, man, I never even heard this stuff before. But there's something in my heart that's saying, this is hard, but this sounds right. I've talked to a debt counselor, I've talked to an attorney, I've talked to a creditor, but I haven't talked to God. But He's just talked to me. This is God's plan. Wow. I've been looking for answers and solutions from people who can only see and understand with earthly wisdom. But God has given me heavenly wisdom, which is right. And so we are ignorant no more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of us, we have just resisted. We have said, yes, one day, or, but Lord. And He's saying, not what you don't have, it's what you have. And yet today might be that day that you're just going to walk in freedom and say, thank you, Lord. I've been sleepless anyway. I've been fearing anyway. I've been a mess anyway. So what's 10%? It's yours, God, anyway. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to sleep at night. Even when the phone rings and the creditors are calling, I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to replace what the locusts have eaten. You're going to do what only you can do. Because God, I believe that you don't change. And I believe that you're faithful. And I have childlike faith. And so, Lord, I'm changed. I'm going to take the test. And then experience. And for those of you who have taken the test and you're living the test, and in the midst of times and stresses in your life, I know that this morning you're just saying, thank you, Lord, for affirming. Thank you for what you've taught me in a previous day. And I'm living it. And your spirit has just confirmed and said, well done. Keep it up. Keep on going. Because you can say, He's been faithful. Let me pray for you. God, I just thank you for your word. I remember a number of years ago, talking with some guys about teaching on a subject similar to this about 2 years ago. There was one guy in that group who was a new believer. He's a Christian about a year, year and a half. And I said, you know, it's just really tough for people to take and to absorb. It's really a challenge. For some, they'll take it as a man, just a real hard thing. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor John, 80% of what you share every Sunday is hard for me. Because I live my whole life with my own wisdom and in my own ways. I had no idea God's ways and His wisdom. So practically everything you say challenges my view, my way of things. So bring it on. I want to know what God says about these things because I want to live at peace. I want to honor God. He deserves it. Lord, that was powerful for me to hear. It's powerful for us to hear some of this. This can be hard. But Lord, when we step out, when we trust you, God, you just make it joyful. I just pray for these dear people here this morning And there might be someone here who doesn't know you yet. And Lord, I pray that, they'll seek you. And that, Lord, they'll allow us to connect with them. Or maybe here today, they'll say, you know what? I get it. I've heard the gospel before, but I've never surrendered before. And maybe because it is the money thing, maybe I'm a materialistic man, woman, boy, or girl, and I just surrender. That was the one thing that was holding me back, just like that rich young ruler. But today I'm free. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I come. I come and I offer you nothing except a sinful heart that needs to be washed. That needs to be cleansed. And I need to be made a new creation. And all this stuff, what John was talking about, and all these other things in your word that I may have heard, Lord, that's all the after stuff. That's the stuff that you will continue to make new in my life. But I need to come now and I'm naked. I have nothing. I need washing. I need cleansing. I need restoration. So Lord Jesus Christ, I come. I come to you. And with the confession of my heart and with my lips, I acknowledge you as Lord, King, ruler of my life, and Savior of my soul. Save me, a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and paying a penalty I could not pay. And I'm so glad that you rose from the dead. That proves to me that I can have power over the sin because I believe that you will live inside of me. And I will become a child of God and he will lead my life. And I will obey him and I will follow him like a child ought to follow a righteous parent. And God, I believe you're righteous and your ways are righteous. Forgive me for my arrogance, for my pride, for my questioning of you, for my calling you out. Who am I? Who am I? That you would look upon me and have mercy and have pity and have such love. Take me, adopt me, warts and all, as your child I come. I receive Jesus. Oh God, I celebrate that life. You celebrate that life. Your creation, now your child. Hallelujah. And Lord, for many in this room, this subject maybe was a hard pill to swallow. For some reason, it's going down easier right now. Because we know it's pure and it's right. It's wisdom from heaven. It's truth. And Lord, it doesn't change our eternity. It doesn't change our salvation. You don't change. Our salvation was free. It's not because we tithe or don't tithe. We're still your children, even if we'd never give you a dime. But Lord, we're not at peace. And now we know why. When it comes to our finances. Oh, thank you, Lord. This is the best sleeping pill. Truth. I follow you, God. Take it. It's yours. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to take the test because you're faithful. I'm scared to death. I'm worried. But I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. And I know that you're big enough. And you're rich enough. And you love enough. You've already proved it. So here I am. In Jesus' name.